Mic is on.
Yes.
Ah, hey, cool. It got really quiet in here all of a sudden. That must mean it's our turn to talk.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Ryan Gregg. I am a program manager on the OneDrive and SharePoint team.
And I am Luca. I'm a program manager on OneDrive and the SharePoint team as well.
And hopefully you're all in the right place. We're here to talk to you today about accessing SharePoint files and lists using the Microsoft Graph API. Just to sort of poll the audience to make sure that I'm not, you know, talking under your heads, how many of you are developers or know how to write code or have sort of some sense of that?
Sweet.
That's awesome. And then how many of you know what Microsoft Graph is? And how many of you think it's what Office Graph is and know the difference? One of you. OK, awesome.
I think it's a good starting point.
Yeah, that's great. OK, cool. So this is a 400-level talk. We're going to do a lot of demos. We're going to be writing code up here on stage, so just make sure you're prepared for that. Just in general, we're going to talk briefly about what Microsoft Graph is, since everybody seems to know, but I'll make sure you know the difference between Microsoft Graph and Office Graph by the time you leave the room. We're going to talk about how SharePoint is now coming to the Microsoft Graph API. We're going to do a bunch of demos, and we'll sort of set expectations for what we have in beta today, what's coming in the future, and what the overall API roadmap looks like moving forward. Yeah, we're going to answer those questions. So what is Microsoft Graph? Microsoft Graph, as it sounds like you all know, is the single API for accessing data across a bunch of different Microsoft services. You can think of it as, I think we say on our website, the one API to rule them all, which I think is a great tagline. It's the way that you can get to directory data, like users and the user's profile. It's a way to get to groups, messages, files, and now, as of this week, actually SharePoint list content as well. The other really cool thing that makes Graph Graph is the ability to traverse data back and forth between different items. So for example, in the OneDrive API and the SharePoint API exposed in Graph, you can say, here's an item, but I actually want to know who the user that last modified that item is, instead of making two different calls, one to get an ID for the user and then another to go to the directory and find out more information about that user, like their profile, you can do all of that in one API call. It's also the API that we have available for accessing what we call insights, and this is where Office Graph comes in. So things like the trending around or the delve views that we have available in our products, those are powered by something called Office Graph, which is the system that we have to maintain the relationships between all of the different entities inside Office 365 and drive insights out of those entities. And all of that is available through Microsoft Graph. So Office Graph is the service that has all of these great insights and understands all of the relationships between things in our world. Microsoft Graph is the API that exposes all of that out to developers and to our own products. And then the last thing that I want to say about Microsoft Graph that's really great is that finally it unifies the experience between logging in with consumer accounts for Microsoft accounts and logging in with Azure Active Directory work and school accounts. So now you don't have to think about separate services, you don't have to figure out what kind of email address this is, you can just have one auth flow and one API and it all works. So before the Graph world, we had a bunch of different services that you had to think about. So if you wanted to integrate with SharePoint, you called the SharePoint API. And if you wanted to integrate with Exchange, you called the Exchange API. And those APIs didn't really look or feel at all like each other. There was no common standards for how we wrote our APIs. It was up to each product team to sort of figure out what made sense for them and how to move forward on that. And the division between work and school and personal accounts was there as well. So even like on OneDrive, for example, we had a very different API for getting to consumer files than we had for getting to business files. If you wanted to support both of them in your application, like everybody should, it was a nightmare because you had to deal with all of these different services. Today, though, everything is wonderful and beautiful in Graph, and we're going to show you how it's getting even better today with the addition of the SharePoint lists and sites. So I'm going to announce SharePoint in Microsoft Graph API, which all of you knew because we talked about it on Monday, but hey, that's fine. Finally, it is in the Microsoft Graph. This is a really what I will call early beta. We have a limited set of functionality that lets you get to sites, and it lets you get to lists and list items. We know every single one of you in here is going to say, this is cool, but it's not good enough for me yet. And that's exactly the kind of feedback I want to hear, and I want to know why it's not good enough for you and what it needs to have to become good enough for you to use for all of your applications. As you all know, the SharePoint API is quite immense. We've been working on it for 20 years?
Yes, 15
more or less. Yeah. Something like that. So there's a lot of functionality in there. It's impossible for me to go add all of that functionality in a year or 6 months. it's not impossible for me to go find the things that you guys need it to have and make sure that we get those prioritized on the list. So we really need that feedback, and we want to know what we need to have so we can keep iterating on this. And lastly, I just want to say, this is really showing the direction for the future of how we're moving with this API. Like I said, it isn't the thing that you're going to go out and use right now. It's in beta, so I would tell you, you can't use it in a production app right now, but I want to know where we should be going and what we should be doing with this thing and get your feedback. So with that said, let's actually jump in and start demoing what this API looks like. So I'm playing the role of an elite SharePoint hacker today, so I'm going to be on a Mac. And here I am in Postman because I'm just going to literally demo the API to you guys and show specific things that you can do. And if I was on Windows, I might be using Fiddler, but here I am in Postman letting you see what's going on. So if you're all familiar, and can everybody see this? I assume that's big enough for people in the back, but yeah, good, okay. So Microsoft Graph, everything is available through graph.microsoft.com. Everything has different namespaces, so from a user that's /me, from a group it's /groups. For SharePoint, we actually added /SharePoint. So at the very beginning, you can get to SharePoint, and if you want to get to a site, like the root site, you can just say graph.microsoft.com/SharePoint/site. And when I do that, oh, I get an invalid version, because I forgot to put beta in here. There we go. So the other really cool thing about Graph is that it is a versioned API. If you're familiar with SharePoint REST API, you never really knew what version of the API you were going to be calling because it depended on what version of the server you were calling, and there was no way to really differentiate that other than knowing the server version. In Graph, we have versions of the API, so this is the beta version of the API, and it's in the URL. When this finally migrates to V1, we'll put V1 in the URL, and then so on. As we make breaking changes or we need to change the API going forward, it will all be versioned. And your application can take a dependency on the version that you're using and know that it will work. So this is the root site. That's really easy to do. If you're familiar with using something like getByPath in the SharePoint API, you can actually use the colon syntax that the graph has. And the colon is how we convert from REST API space into user hierarchy space. So if you've used the OneDrive API, you've seen this before, you can say, access somebody's OneDrive, and then use the colon to switch into actually navigating through the folders in that user's drive, and then use a colon to transition back into the REST API. The same thing we have added here for the SharePoint API. So in this case, I have a team site out here, which is my facilities team site, which we'll talk about in the demo later as well. And you can see that this site is actually sites/facilities in the URL. So back in the graph layer, I will do SharePoint:sites/facilities. And here's the information that we make available about that site. So right now, we're pretty limited. You can tell that the site collection that this site is in has this particular host name. Here's the site collection ID and site ID. And we've preserved all of the identifiers in the Graph API for SharePoint so that it's the same GUIDs that you have between CSOM, REST API, and Graph API. So it's really easy to start with Graph and then be able to call a SharePoint API, or start with the SharePoint API and call Graph. We didn't want it to be a challenge to be able to intermix these two APIs together. So there's unfortunately one thing I can't do in Graph right now, which is I can't go on after this site piece because of a last minute bug. So I'm going to actually say SharePoint/sites, which lets me access the site collections and the sites for this particular tenant. And then I'm going to put the GUID in here for this particular site. And you'll see I get back exactly the same data. But this time I can do more things, like I can add /lists to the end and actually get back a list of all of the lists inside the SharePoint site. And I can do really cool things using Graph and OData concepts like filter. So I can say filter name equals access cards, which is the name of one of my lists. And you'll see here is the only list that is returned back is the one whose name is access cards and all of the information I need about that. And from here, I can now drill into the list by taking this guy and going back here and saying lists/my ID. And you'll notice another benefit over the old SharePoint API, or sorry, the current SharePoint API, I don't mean to say it's old, it's not going anywhere, I can use the identities directly inside the path. So we have something that's called key as segment. I don't have to call a function and use parentheses in the URLs and quote GUIDs and make sure that I define all the types of that. I can just have a very native, simple, clean, REST feeling URL that gets me access to all of the data that I need. So here's the list that I'm on. And then if I want to get the items, I can just say slash items, and here are all of the items that come back on this list. And you're like, if you're paying attention, you're probably looking at this and saying, that's a really neat set of properties, but it doesn't look like any of the custom columns for this particular list are showing up there. So to get those back, you actually have to say expand column set. We've separated the actual column properties from the properties of a list item itself, which gives us a little bit more flexibility in making sure that the names between custom columns and the properties that we put on the item don't conflict, and being able to clean up the column set information so that it really more matches the schema of the list and is cleanly available here. And then, just like before, you can use the select statement to do things like, I want title and employee ID, and get back exactly the things that you're looking for. Oh, all right, well, pretend that worked. So this is really just a simple overview of being able to access the SharePoint lists and sites through the Graph API. This was all just sort of a read-only experience that I showed you today. You can also go create list items and be able to update list items as well, which is basically the extent of functionality that we have today. So you can find SharePoint lists based on site ID and list ID. You can find sites and lists based on the relative URL or the path for that particular site or list. You can enumerate all of the items, get to custom columns, and then create, update, and delete list items. Like I said, really basic functionality. It's paving the way for all of the richness that we need to have. But we think that this is actually enough to be able to build the very basic solution and start getting feedback and start learning about where this API needs to go and how we're going to make it even better. And with that, I will switch back to the slides and hand it over to Luca.
Thank you, sir. So just to recap a little bit and go a little bit deeper on what Ryan was showing before, this is basically a new concept that we have inside SharePoint. It's a concept that we had in Microsoft for a long time, which is the reason why we have this Microsoft brand in the Graph API, which is an effort across all the company to have the same way to access different set of data through the same pattern and the same entities in the APIs. So basically, we know that SharePoint is rich, SharePoint is complex. Just like Ryan was saying before, SharePoint API has been around for 15 years. We started on REST in 2010, 2013. And you can easily do a lot of things in REST. But this is the good side of the story. The story is that you need a SharePoint degree in order to be able to use the REST API properly and do whatever you want and need to do in SharePoint. And this is great for the majority of the scenarios if you're basically developing on top of SharePoint, but sometime you need some scenarios that you need to be able to do things and access data very quickly and some kind of subset of information because you don't have to do complex management functionalities. And this is where basically the Graph API comes and kicks in. It gives you the ability to access data and to use something that you already learned in order to access data from SharePoint, from OneDrive or even other O365 or Microsoft workloads and use the same kind of logic and concept on SharePoint as well. That said, we also want to be able to have a kind of a continuity between the SharePoint REST APIs and Microsoft REST API, which is the reason why we didn't completely change the naming and the kind of functionalities or the way to access items that we have in SharePoint REST. So we have SP site is a site collection. We have an SP web is a site, SP list is a list, and an SP basically list item is a list item. So this is the kind of a mapping that you can use in between accessing a container, a list, a site collection, or an item from REST versus Microsoft REST endpoint in the Microsoft Graph. And as I was saying before, it is a Microsoft effort across everything. So the kind of guidelines that we have in order to access data on Microsoft Office 365 and other endpoints, this is the same way that you can use in order to access data from the SharePoint REST APIs. So just like Ryan was saying today, what is available today? You can navigate a site, you can navigate a list, you can navigate a list item. Sites and lists today are through GUID only. We are working in order to be able to have kind of functionality that you can access the site and the list through title. This is a beta version. This is the reason why we have bugs, but we're working on that. You can access list item. You can have CRUD functionalities on list items itself, so you can create updates and delete them. And that's kind of a pretty much it. Do we believe this is the end state? Absolutely not. Just like Ryan was saying before, this is something that we think it's good enough as a starting point. But we absolutely want to rely on you in order to get your feedbacks, in order that you get your information and prioritization so that we can focus on what do we need to provide as first functionalities by the time we go to general availability. I believe that some of kind of functionalities that we know we don't have, and I'm sure we will hear loud and clear from you, is basically management and provisioning. So how do I create a site? How do I create a list? How do I change the list information or the site information to Graph API? So we know that there is work that we need to do, and we want to prioritize the kind of work, but we need your help in order to get such kind of prioritization. So in terms of architecture, what is REST? What is Microsoft Graph? Well, it's just another REST endpoint, and it's built on top of SharePoint. It's built on top of the SharePoint APIs. We do a couple of things here. We use, for things that make sense, existing REST APIs that SharePoint already provides. And for other things, we are building new REST APIs that are more specific and are more focused on the scenarios that we want to prioritize and target through the Microsoft Graph API for SharePoint. So that, for example, if you want to have consistency in the way you access data across OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, and SharePoint document libraries, and we believe that we don't have such kind of immediate REST API in the SharePoint REST that would be able to provide to you data in a reasonable performance standpoint, we will build specific REST endpoints in order to be able to have Microsoft Graph being as performant as it has to be. Does it mean that the other things are moving on? Does it mean that we are going to deprecate SharePoint REST API? Does it mean that we're going to deprecate CSOM? Absolutely not. All these things are still there, and all these things are still well alive, and they are fulfilling completely different scenarios. But the REST API basically is yet another thing that goes and complete the SharePoint and OneDrive APIs ecosystem. So in terms of entities, we are focusing, just like Ryan was saying before, for our first interaction, we are focusing on two specific scenarios or two specific entities, the Drive entity and the List entity. You guess which one provides what? So the Drive entity provides the information and access to files. The List entity provides information and access to list items. So why two? It's all about scenarios here. So imagine that you want to build something that gives you access to files no matter where they are. These files can live on a document library. They can live on OneDrive for Business. They can live on OneDrive Consumer. And during the life cycle of the file itself, the file can move in different containers and in different items. So you can have the file living on your OneDrive, as an example, at the beginning, and then you want to move to OneDrive for Business because you want to start doing a project collaboration with someone else in your entity, and then when the project is ready, you want to move that in an official document library in order to make that available to the entire team. This is a kind of a scenario. In this scenario, you always want to access that file element, no matter where it is, which is the reason why you use the Drive. So through the Drive entity, you always access the file in the same way, no matter where the file is, and you are able basically to actually have the same pattern to access the Drive, no matter, again, the file, if you are pointing to OneDrive for Business, OneDrive for Consumer, and OneDrive and the document library. If you think about that doing in REST, you understand that this is a lot of complexity because OneDrive Consumer has a different set of APIs and SharePoint REST is a completely different of APIs. So depending when the file is, you will have to do completely different code in your program in order to be able to access the file. Now, the only thing that you have to change is the path and everything else is there. You have used exactly the same syntax, you use exactly the same entity. But on the other hand, if you want to access something which is specific in SharePoint, is a specific SharePoint item that doesn't exist conceptually in OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, in terms of document library, you then use the list entity. And there, you basically start accessing the data that are available in a list, or the underneath list data that are available in a document library. Why am I saying that? Because actually, you can jump between list and entities In the same way, if you guys are SharePoint developer, that you start with an SP list item and you can do an SP file. So basically, you can reach an item in a document library by using the list entity in order to interact with content, with columns inside the document library, and in future with other artifacts that we are going to expose. And then if you need to get access to the file, you can switch and go to the end, to the file part of that item itself without going through the drive entity. So this is why basically these kind of things are interchangeable, and it's the fact that you're starting from the list entity doesn't necessarily mean that you have to start from scratch in order to access the file.
Let's show them.
You want to show it?
Yeah.
Please.
All right. Back to this wonderful experience of being able to call REST APIs. Now, obviously we don't think that you're going to be doing this when you're actually building the apps. And if you haven't gone out and seen the Graph Explorer website that we have on graph.microsoft.com, you can use that to do the same set of things that I'm doing here without having to get an auth token, without needing to figure out how to go through the auth experience, which I had to do sort of before stage happened here. But so here I am. You can see graph.microsoft.com/beta/SharePoint. And then I can get to a site. In this case, it's the root site. And if you go back here, you can see here's my root site for this tenant. And in the documents library, the default documents library, I have a bunch of files here. So from a site, I can say, give me back all of the drives in this site, which is one way of being able to get back all of the document libraries using the files API in Graph. I could very similarly do site lists and filter for everything whose list template is document library and make that same request. And here I will get back all of the document libraries in this site as lists. The difference being, when I do it as a list, I get back all of the custom columns and the list properties, and it's treated like a list like everywhere else in SharePoint. When I use the drive API interface, it's treated like a drive or a OneDrive, but it's a document library. And I can access all of the files and do all of the file properties off of that. So if I go in here, I can say drive, items, root. Here's the root folder of the drive. You can see there are five files in it, children, and actually be able to get to all of the files. And all of the power of the OneDrive API that has been part of Microsoft Graph for a year now is available on document libraries across any SharePoint site now. So you no longer are just limited by using Microsoft Graph to get to the user's OneDrive for Business or to the default site's document library. You can now actually access any site across a SharePoint tenant and then pull up the document libraries and use the OneDrive API or the files API to do thumbnails, to launch off into the Excel REST API that we have available in Microsoft Graph to be able to modify Excel spreadsheets inside that document library, to be able to upload large files up to the maximum size supported by SharePoint using our resumable upload API that I'm going to talk about tomorrow if you want to come listen to that, and all of the other great functionality that is available for files through the Microsoft Graph API. This query accesses.
So the question
the question was, does this query access all of the files in this site collection? The query that I have here where it's SharePoint sites drive, this is accessing the default site, which is the root site for this tenant, and then it's accessing the default document library in that root site, and then it's giving me back the list of items in that root folder. So it's not everything across the entire thing. It's scoped based on the URL that I have provided to just this document library. And then it's, of course, security trimmed. So because I'm logged in as me, I can only see the files that I have access to. I can't see all of the files necessarily in that.
And if your next question is, what is the default document library? Is the one that we create as part of the provisioning.
Right, yeah, it's the automatic document library that is created for you. And if you want to get to a different document library, you can very easily go back and say site drives and enumerate different document libraries that are available here.
So the question here is, what about attachments?
Yes, so attachments are not available through the API today. We know that obviously that's a thing that people want. They're coming. We're here showing what is a very early developer preview, developer beta for this API. Those are actually great questions. So the two, I'm going to move on, but I'm going to answer those before we go on. The two questions were, does the new API throttle responses, and does the new API paginate responses? I'm going to answer the paginate first, because it's easy. Yes, we absolutely do. We support the same top parameter that all of the Graph API collections support. So you can say, I want a page size of a particular range, and then we'll give you a next link to the next set of items there, so you can paginate through results. Throttling is a great question, because that is a huge problem for the existing API, where if you get a list that has 5,001 items in it, suddenly the things that you thought worked before stop working, and you probably didn't test that on your own if you didn't know about that. Test that on your own, now you know about it. The new API currently doesn't let you do anything that we can't support on lists of any size. So if you try to sort, we're gonna tell you that's not a field that's indexed right now, so you can't sort on that field. Because we don't wanna lead you down the path of, oh, everything worked on my machine, but when I deployed it to this large tenant, everything failed. Now, obviously, we need to have a better answer than only the default fields that were indexed are things that you can sort on. So in a future extension of this API, we'll be able to allow the developer to make sure that their queries will work and that they can do the kinds of things that they want to do with sorting and filtering.
Yeah.
But not in beta yet.
And I will say that as a generic guideline in terms of throttling and API access, in terms to be sure that we are providing the great service across all the tenancies in SharePoint and in OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, we will always throttle for the best, right? So there will be very bad for everybody, Microsoft, but our customers first, to be able to have somebody that is able to arbitrarily query for a large amount of data and eventually being able to access or provide the kind of a problematic access to this data. Now, there's a different approach on that things, which is the way you're throttling properly by providing me the kind of information so that I can understand that I got throttled versus arbitrarily returning random errors. And this is one of the things that we are working very, very hard in order to be sure that you get the right information so you can change your logic in your code accordingly to the information we return back. And I think that another thing that I think we can all learn from what Ryan was saying is that through graph, really you are accessing across of different data set and data types on different containers, Excel, documents, OneDrive, consumer, business, in the same way. You don't have to change a different REST API. You don't have to call different endpoints.
That's right.
You go to one and you're done. You get everything from there. So with that in mind, then what about the other things that we talked about that we mentioned about that a little bit early. What about REST and CSOM? REST and CSOM are there. They fulfill completely different scenarios and different kind of basically purposes. So if you want to use something that is inside of SharePoint, that is primarily SharePoint, that is very complex and it's very powerful, CSOM and REST. CSOM and REST, they use the same core pipeline most of the time. You know that some of our REST APIs are built on top of CSOM. We also have specific REST API that have been built without the CSOM being there. And they are basically extensible across all the workloads that are SharePoint based. So SharePoint itself and project, for example. They can be used on managed code, which is what the CSOM library is, that you can use on C#, or you can be used basically across everything by using the REST endpoint. Graph is something that you want to use, just like Ryan was saying a second ago, if you want to be able to access something that is platform independent, that is container independent. I don't care if it's OneDrive consumer or document library. I want to access that file. And I don't care if it's Excel or Word, I want to have a Word file. I want to have the same kind of approach in terms of programming and entries and entities in order to be able to access that item. Now, the good thing is that those kind of choices are not something that you make once and then you are screwed. For example, let's say I'm starting from graph and I want to access some kind of data, then at one point, I need to be able to do something more that Microsoft Graph doesn't allow me to do on a list because I'm a beta or maybe because it's not part of this release. And at one point, I want to be able to access then the REST endpoint, or I want to be able to make a REST endpoint on the SharePoint REST without being able to re-authenticate and do all the other things. So my question for you, Ryan, is that something I can do?
You know that's something you can do, Luca.
I know. That's why I'm telling you that, so that he can demo it.
Yes,
to our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if Luca can switch over to my machine.
Yes, sir.
So here we are back in my favorite client, Postman, and I am addressing that same site that we were using before, so the facilities site, and I can get a collection of its lists, and see here that I'm going to grab this GUID just to make this easier. And see all of the available items using the Graph API. items. So here are the available items on this particular list using Graph API. And I'll expand column set just so you can see I'm not joking. So this is the access card for me. And my card number is 12345. Blah, blah, blah. And then over here, I'm going to use the SharePoint API. So you see now I'm not calling Graph anymore. I'm calling my tenant at sharepoint.com/site/facilities_API web. And then I have the lists. And here's that same GUID again, and then items. And when I execute this call, you see I get back the same set of items. Here's that same card serial number that we talked about before, and the same title, the same field. So I'm able to access the same list with the same properties and the same information both through Graph and through the traditional SharePoint API using those same identifiers. So the GUIDs and the list item IDs and all of the properties that we have made available traditionally through CSOM and through REST, you can take those same identifiers and use them through Microsoft Graph. So it's really easy for you to take a solution that you have today that leverages the REST API and leverages CSOM and start using the information that you have cached or the information that you have available as part of that app to make Graph calls to do new scenarios that are available on Graph, like the Excel REST API, as an example, that you can't do using the SharePoint API directly.
And what about the auth token? So I go there and I authenticate by using Microsoft Graph?
Yes, that's right. So for Microsoft Graph, unlike the SharePoint API, the SharePoint API today supports all of the same authentication methods that SharePoint supports. So if you're calling it from a web browser, you can use cookie auth. If you're calling it from an application, you can use OAuth2 tokens. Unlike that, the Microsoft Graph requires OAuth2 authentication. So you do have to have a different authentication style, potentially, depending on how you have built your existing app, to be able to call into the Microsoft Graph. And I know everybody who's building web parts is going, wait, how do I do OAuth2 authentication inside my web parts so that I can make calls to Microsoft Graph?
And the answer is that through the SharePoint framework, we are working on that. So basically, what we are doing right now is that we are moving SharePoint to support OpenID Connect. And when that will happen, you will be able to use a client-side web part using the SharePoint framework, get a token, and use that token to access resources that use OAuth2 above and beyond SharePoint. I think that's a good thing, right? Yeah. So come on, a little bit of love. Thank you, guys. Okay, so we have now less than 45 minutes, and let's go and code a little bit. So right now, we are switching to Visual Studio or to other kind of tools, and we will basically show a big demo. And the idea of the demo is to be sure that we are able to fulfill a specific scenario by using the SharePoint and OneDrive API endpoints. So the idea here is to have an environment that is able to register some kind of data by using a Raspberry Pi. And when this data is registered, this kind of device will use some set of APIs in order to register the item in a list item. And then we will use the SharePoint framework in order to build a client-side web part that provides a nice view of this kind of list inside a modern page. With that said, you start?
Yep, absolutely. Go. So we lied a little bit on that slide. It says we're building a C# app, but we're not. We're building a Python app because what I have up here is a Raspberry Pi, which if you were at the talk on Monday, you probably saw at Rob Howard's talk. But inside this Lego, this awesome Lego case, is a little tiny Raspberry Pi computer, which you could buy for like $20. It's running a flavor of Linux. And attached to that is this RFID card scanning reader, which we can use to access security cards and make sure that everything is good. So it's a little IoT demo, which is why we use Python instead of C# to be able to do this thing. So here on the screen, you can see I have a whole template of an application that I've built that knows how to get access tokens using the ADAL framework for Python. It knows how to make REST requests using a library called requests. And I'm going to now try to code up on stage live in front of all of you the actual four methods that we have to be able to do all of the scenarios. But first, I want to show you what the SharePoint lists look like. So we have two lists in SharePoint that I have created ahead of time because the new API doesn't yet allow me to provision these lists. Obviously, we'll get there. List number one is a list of access cards. So I've added some columns to this, like a lookup column for employee, which goes back to the directory, the actual serial number of the card, and the alias of that particular person. And then separately, I've created this entry log list which is where all of the information coming from this sample application is going to go. So you can see what door the entry occurred at, what time the entry occurred, the serial number of the card that was presented, and then card serial is actually a lookup column, so we can then pull more information out of the access cards list. In this case, I'm bringing alias in here.
Which is that now, this is an important thing to keep in mind when you will access SharePoint data by using kind of a REST endpoint if it's graph or SharePoint rests. Because in graph, you can do expand automatically. Hmm. And this is something that if you want to do that with SharePoint REST is a little bit more interesting or complicated.
That's right, yeah. So in the new graph API, if you've used lookup fields before in the SharePoint REST API, you know that there's complex query string schema that you need to remember to be able to pull back the lookup fields. So by default, you are just given the lookup identifier of that field, and then you have to go remember to expand the name of the column in the other list to be able to pull in more information. And I know from helping people do that, once you've figured it out, it's easy, but if you're a new SharePoint developer, you're like banging your head on a wall trying to remember how to expand one of those lists or one of those lookup fields. So we've made it really easy in the new API by automatically expanding the columns that are in the default view for you. So in this case, there's four actions now that I need to do to have my IoT application work. The first thing I need to do is make sure that the card scanner itself understands which access cards are available. So that's this refresh card list method. The next two things that I need to do are to be able to create items in one of these lists, in this case when I scan my badge, and then be able to update the item in the list to provide more information. If you can read the comment here, you'll notice that the Graph API has this awesome feature right now, which is that when you create an item, you can't actually populate the columns of the list. I expected a groan when I said that. Anyway, right now, as of this exact moment, because this is a super early beta, you have to create an empty list item and then go back and patch it. As soon as I get back to Redmond, I'm going to lean over my engineering manager's shoulders until we fix that, so that when all of you get home, you don't have to deal with it that way. But he just slunk down in his chair. It was great. okay, so in Python, if you're familiar with Python, which you may not be, everything is white space significant, so everything is indented here. So to refresh the card list, I'm going to make a graph request using this API. I'm going to actually not post. This is this one. That's what I did. I was scrolled down too far. So I'm going to make a graph request, which is a GET request, to this URL, which is graph.microsoft.com, beta, SharePoint, sites, site ID, lists, list ID, items, and then I'm going to select some columns out of that, like ID and list item ID, and I'm going to expand the column set so I get all of those custom columns. So you can see here when I have this actually in the code, I'm going to take this part, copy it and paste it here, and change these things to be my site ID. And while I'm coding, I'm going to have Luca fill time telling you what I'm typing. OK. So you can see I'm just doing string concatenation here to build a URL that has the site ID that I need in it, and it has the list ID that I need for the particular access cards list. And then I append those query strings. So I ask for all of the items, I'm selecting just a particular set of items, and then I ask for the columns. And then I'm going to iterate through that collection and just populate a dictionary that has an easy lookup table for me of card serial number and list item ID so that I can go create items in the list later. And then to create an item in the list, it's a very simple post call, which anyone who's dealt with the REST API should be familiar with. So in this case, I'm going to make a request, again, using this graph request framework to post to the items collection. And as I said, because of that bug, I'm just going to create an empty item that doesn't have anything in it. And then to patch that item, it's a fairly typical REST request again. I'm just going to patch, in this case, the column set and make a request to the same full URL, but to the items column set property instead of actually the item itself. And when I do that, everything is good. So those are the three REST requests that I need to make this IoT application work. And then obviously I need to string those three REST requests together. So I have a method called recordCardScan, which is going to go grab the information about the card that was presented on the card scanner itself. It will then go create a list item using the Graph API, update that list item with the information that was provided based on the card that was scanned and the current time, and patch that item automatically. So now I'm going to deploy this code out to my Raspberry Pi using SCP to copy the contents over. And I'm going to run Python on card reader. And when this boots up, you'll see actually it's going to make some API calls. So there it got the site ID for my site. It found the lists that I was looking for, and it's all ready to go. And if I go over here and grab Luca's card and scan it, you'll see it detected the card. It then made the post request that I was talking about to create a new item. It then patched the item, and everything looks good. And I'm going to scan my card as well, just to have it happen twice. And then I'll go back to SharePoint, and I'm going to go to the entry log field here. And you'll see now that here are the two items that just got created as a result of us being here and scanning our cards. And the times are actually a little bit off, because it turns out that Raspberry Pis don't have an internal clock in them, and we don't have NTP access via the firewall for some reason, so the clock is like way off on my Raspberry Pi, but those are the items that we just created via the Graph API running off of this little IoT device that we just hacked together in Python on stage in front of everyone.
Cool. So let's try to make this kind of visualization something that I can use on a modern page with the SharePoint framework, because the document library experience is cool, but let's say that I want to have the same kind of visualization on a modern page. How do I do that? So basically, I'm starting here with my command prompt, and I'm going to use a Yeoman generator in order to basically create a new SharePoint client-side web part by using the SharePoint framework. And what the first thing that I'm doing is that yo add Microsoft slash SharePoint. And when I start that, basically what happened is that I've downloaded the Yeoman template generator for SharePoint. And what did I say? There is an additional slash that shouldn't have been there. And basically, I take a look at what kind of a template that I have in my machine, and then it tried to find the right one, and it find the right information. Here it is. I have my new solution, which is a Yo project. Let's call that cool ignite demo. Actually, as a matter of fact, before doing that, let me create a directory. Ignite demo.
I didn't know you were going to show Yeoman ASCII art. I feel like I should have worked a little bit harder on my demo.
See? Okay, let's run Yeoman again. And then from here, we will basically say the same Yeoman again, and let's say, what is my solution name? I'm okay with this one. Let's say Ignite Demo, I like that better. I want to use the current folder since I'm there already. Yes, I am. What is the name of the web part? Card Reader Demo. I want to have a description for now on. And I can now have something just like no JavaScript templating. I can use React. I can use Knockout. We are working in order to have support for other templates. We are working to start having Angular V2 support. And if you want some other supports, use user voice to provide what you want. For this specific and particular demo, let's not have any framework. And then what is happening right now in starting and creating the project and the template to load all the information. This will take a while. So let's have this kind of thing running. And in the meantime, since I already had the same kind of project downloaded somewhere else, let's use Visual Studio Code, which was exactly the same tool that Ryan was using on a Windows machine. So
thanks to the magic of television, my project is already created.
Here we go, exactly. Thank you very much. So here's my project over here. This will be the end result that I will have once the Yeoman generator completed. So to take a look at the end results, what I'm doing is that I'm going to another command prompt, and I'm going to this kind of directory where this project was created. I'm using gulpserv. And basically, what I'm doing right now is building a kind of is compiling the solution and trying to understand if everything works. And at the end of the compilation process, what will happen is that a browser will pop up. And when the browser pops up, I will have the SharePoint Workbench, which is this tool that gives me the ability to test my client-side web part completely disconnected from SharePoint on my machine, even without having kind of internet connection at all. So from here, I have the Workbench. I click on the plus side. The toolbox shows up. Here is my web part over here. which is fine. It works. Nothing fancy, but it gives me the ability to have a starting point and see if that works. Then the next step that I'm going to do over here is basically to close this and to be sure that I'm able to package the solution and put the solution on the SharePoint site, which is the same SharePoint site that Ryan was using in order to have where the list is provided there. And the reason is because I want to have this kind of web part available on a modern page that I will create over there, and I want to use SharePoint APIs in order to access that list and provide a kind of a nice view over there. So then the next thing that I'm going over here is that I am doing a gulp package solution. And what is happening right now is that, similar to the before, I'm compiling all this JavaScript code that I have, but then instead of running a node and having UX in front of me that will let me testing this kind of solution on my machine, I'm simply creating a package that the SharePoint environment will understand. So I go back to code, and I'm not starting coding at all over here right now. I'm simply preparing the environment so that I can start code on top of SharePoint, which is kind of an interesting thing I will see in a second. So go here on the SharePoint. I see the entry-reader.spapp. This is a package. So let me do this and copy the path. Then I'm going to SharePoint. This is basically the same theme site that Ryan was saying a second ago. And if you take a look at that, here's the access card list, the power of server side. And this is the entry log list with the entry logs that Ryan was showing a second ago. So from here, what we do, we go to the app catalog, and we go to apps for SharePoint. And I am now uploading the package that I created with gulpserv, which is the file. I have my path over here. I open. I click OK. So the first thing that happens when I do upload is that I have a kind of a consent pop-up. And this consent pop-up basically is telling tenant administrator something just like, look, there is this kind of powerful JavaScript client-side web part that will be able to make calls to SharePoint REST API and something different by using Graph and other environments across all the site collections in your tenant. If you don't feel comfortable, don't trust it. But in the moment that you trust it, be sure that everyone that is able to access and install this web part on their site collection will be able to use it. So this is a kind of governance that we are able to provide so that the tenant admin can decide if and when providing this kind of trust to this kind of environment. So let's say that I do because I just created that. So now this is available.
I'll ad lib in. There's that same sort of consent prompt available the first time an application calls the Graph API, just to ensure that the user is comfortable with the set of permissions that that application is asking for the Graph API. And it gives the user or the IT admin, if they're consenting on behalf of their entire company or entire tenant, the ability to really know what that app can and can't access and be able to make that intelligent decision at the time that the application is installed.
Thank you. So I'm running gulpserv over here, and I'll show you in a second why. Then I go back to the SharePoint site. I go to the gear, I click add a page, and what's happening over here is that, sorry, get out. And what's happening over here is that I'm creating a new modern page. And this is a modern page that we are just announced and has been available in first release for a couple of months right now. This is using the SharePoint framework in order to be able to have a new, beautiful, and modern experience on top of SharePoint. I still have a similar kind of environment over here. Before doing that, the last thing I have to do, so I have still the toolbox with the canvas inside. I don't see my web part here right now, and the reason is because, oh, here it is. It's already here. Sorry, I have my web part over here. I didn't see that.
But before
doing that, the last thing that I have to be sure I do is that I have to be sure that this web part is available here on the site itself. So I go to my content and I go here and I click on Add an App, and I go back to my add an app page. I can reprovide this kind of functionality over here. The reason why I have to the different version of this app is already installed with the same version number. Interesting. Okay, so while I'm doing that, the reason why I need to do this is because imagine that when you install your web part, you need to do some kind of provisioning functionalities. And sometime, in order to do provisioning functionalities, you need to be able to create a list or create a libraries. And in that situation, let me sure that I have deleted everything over here. Oh, OK. Okay, I said empty recycle bin is not doing that. Done, okay. So in order to do that, I need to be able to install everything on my machine. Okay, let's see if it works. Let's go to site content again. Let's do new, add an app. Install this one. And install the version. Oh. Yeah, I think I did, but anyway. Let me try to do the secondary recycle bin, which is what the audience is suggesting that to me, the power of SharePoint. So I go to recycle bin back here. Let me do it here.
Yeah, I think you added this one already. What's the problem?
Let me go to the second recycle bin first. Let me be sure that I am deleting everything from here. So better to be safe than sorry. Shouldn't take long. Let's trust it for a second. Yeah, it was great. So let's go back to site content. Oh, we are removing your application. Here it is. We are removing your application. Oh, interesting. Okay. So why this is doing that, let's go back to site pages. Go over here, edit. Let's put that over here. And this is working right now. And the reason why it's working is because I'm running Gulp over here. So if I close Gulp for a second and I refresh, you will see that the page doesn't work. That's kind of an interesting error page. Oh, it's getting better today, guys. OK. So let's go back and go back to edit and click and put the reader. And this is now not working because Gulp is not working. So this is an interesting thing you are seeing. Basically, I have the web part in my tenancy. If you take a look at the URL, this is a SharePoint Online. I am in a tenancy in a SharePoint Online. But the code is running from my machine. So I don't have to deploy the code every time that they do a change. I don't have to go and repackage every time. I don't have to go and change my files in the CDN. I simply go there and run Gulp again. And of course, I'll get another nasty error because the demo god is not happy with me today. That's a separate conversation. I don't know what I did last night. OK, so this is running again. The workbench comes in. I don't want the workbench. I go back to this page. Click back to save and close. And sorry, refresh. Something went wrong. Nice. That's so cool.
You're so cool under pressure, Luca.
Oh, that's fine. Go back to site. And the good thing is that so far I think I know how to recover from here. So I go back here. I go back to site pages. I click on my test page. Almost. I create a new page. Let's do this.
One more shot. And then
one more shot. Now, OK. Test. Save and so I go here. I go to entry reader. Here we go. And it works. OK, now we can start coding. Here we go. I'm not going to move from this page anymore. So let me go back and let me take a look at the code. So from now, what I'm doing here is basically nothing, right? I'm just having a welcome message. So let's start and work with the list. So do a little bit of coding over here. The first thing that I want to do is going back here, and I want to do a couple of things. I want to start using a module loader. And this module loader is basically something that we provide as part of the SharePoint framework and gives you the ability to get some kind of external files like CSS from the internet. So this is the first thing that I'm getting. I'm getting the module loader. I'm using the import here. So let's do this from here. Perfect. And then the next thing that I want to do here, then I want to start using and access my data. And in order to do that, I want to create some couple of classes that basically shows me the structure of the list that I'm going to access. So here I have two items. I have an SPList item, which is basically what kind of information I'm going to get from the from the list. And for the purpose of these demos, I'm only going to get three kinds of information. One is the title, which is basically the door that was showing on the list. The other is the time, and the other one is the card serial. And for the card serial, you will see that because the card serial, just like Ryan was saying a second ago, is basically a lookup column. In order to access all the items in the lookup column, I get that as an object so that I can get all the items that I will return back from my REST call. So once I've done that, the next thing that I want to do is basically, let's do this later, but basically what I want to do here before that is change a little bit the render method and making some kind of calls to the list itself through SharePoint. So let's grab this information from here, and then we will explain about that later. So let's copy, go here, go to the render method, here it is. Here we go. So basically here I'm doing a couple of things. So the first thing that I'm doing here is basically call render list async, and because I don't want to refresh my page all the time, I'm calling the set intervals so that every 3 seconds I will make the same query in order to be sure that something is changing. And these give me a nice kind of experience so that I stay on the page, I don't have to refresh the page, but only the div will refresh so that every time I have a new item in the list, hopefully that will show up from me without going down and not providing the, and not showing, basically having to refresh the page in order to show the information. Then what I'm doing here is that I am calling this API. So note that right now, I am making a standard SharePoint REST call. I'm not calling the other API over here. Why? Well, because we just found a bug last night where we are not able yet to call SharePoint Microsoft Graph SharePoint through client-side Webpart and the SharePoint framework. We are working on that. In the meantime, I am using a SharePoint REST API in order to access the data. And if you take a look at this syntax, this is exactly what Ryan was saying a second ago, right? In order for me to get the information of the lookup field, I have to use this kind of slash alias expand in order to get the data from the lookup field that I'm using for the card reader serial number and the card reader alias. So then when I've done that, the next thing that I'm doing is that once I grab my information, I go here, and I render the item, and I go through the list items, and basically I grab the title, which is the door, the time, and the serial alias. So this is basically what I'm doing. I'm saving. Go back to Gulp. It's not yelling at me, which is always a nice thing. So I go back here. Without doing anything, I simply refresh. And something went wrong. Nice. So how do we do that? Very simply. I go back here. I go to add a page again. This site is going to kill me. I have a lot of pages. And I say yet another page. And then let's say publish. So we put that in an interesting good state. OK. Let's publish it. Yeah. Go back to edit. Click over here. Entry reader. Here we go. So we have a lot of information over here. We got all the information from the list. We get the name of the door, we get the entry time, and we get the alias. It looks very ugly though, right? It's just like, okay, yes, it's cool, it's a lot of information, but what about the beautiful experience that you promised to you, Luca? You are a liar. Of course I am. I'm Italian. What the hell? So in order to do that, if you remember a second ago, I was here and I used this module, which is in order to get the ability to load information from outside. So what I'm here doing is that I go back to my code snippet and I copy this kind of information from here in the constructor. And basically what I'm doing in order to do that, I am loading the CSS that are part of the Office Graph. So basically I am loading CSS that are JavaScript framework independent so that I can use that on no JavaScript framework, just like I'm using here or in other frameworks, without having to use the one that we ship as that are the React one. So I'm here, I save it. So the question is that are those public? Yes, those are public and they are available on this URL. So from here, I save, I go back. Okay, let's beat how much something went wrong error I will get. Let's publish a little bit and see what goes. And then let's go back and refresh the page. And of course, right? But we know how to teach with that. So we go back over here. Come on. Yes. You go to site again. You create yet another page. Final page. Let's call that final page. And then let's go here. Let's go to the entry reader. And voila, I have a beautiful list-like experience available on client-side web parts. And in order to do that, I had only to create 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. But that's why we are in public preview, right? Because we need to do that and be sure that we are super ready for you. Okay, with that said, let's go back to the presentation.
Ah, that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. All right, so the demo that we showed you today has a bunch of different parts going, so we'll just sort of talk about what the different parts are. So the first piece that I worked on was the IoT badge scanner application, which is using Python 3 to be able to call the Graph API, using ADAL to get authentication so that I get an auth token, call Graph, and being able to add things on a really low power, really simple, low complexity device. And then Luca tried really hard and ultimately succeeded to go build a web part using the new SharePoint framework that reads the contents of that same list that was being populated from Microsoft Graph using, in this case, the existing SharePoint REST API. Tomorrow or next week, he'll be able to make that same demo application work using the Microsoft Graph API. The thing that we found is that there's no way to get a token in a web part right now to call Microsoft Graph, but Luca's going to make sure that happens immediately.
I don't have my dev manager here, so okay.
Yeah, just blame Darren. It's always Darren's fault. So we want to talk a little bit more about the API roadmap. So I want to really emphasize to everybody this first bullet point, which is the SharePoint REST API that you're using today or the SharePoint CSOM experiences that you're using today aren't going away. We know the whole world is built on those APIs today. We're not going to do anything to jeopardize any of the solutions that you have using those APIs. What we're talking about today is really a future direction and where we're going with Microsoft APIs as a whole and how we're incorporating the different services across Microsoft into the Microsoft Graph. It's not a replacement for the SharePoint REST API at this point, obviously, but long term, the focus for where we're going to be doing API work in the future and where we're going to be focusing for apps to be built is on Microsoft Graph. So this is day one of the future of where all of Microsoft's APIs are going to go. For end user applications, for web experiences, for all of the ways that we imagine partners integrating with SharePoint, integrating with Office 365, and integrating with Microsoft services. For now, though, the IT and admin scenarios that you're using for CSOM and REST and PowerShell are going to continue to stay on those existing APIs, and someday we'll probably get to that, too. So what's next? Obviously, the API is super early. You can do only a few things right now, but it's compelling enough that we wanted to release it as a beta so we can start getting feedback from everyone on what isn't there and isn't there and what works well and what doesn't. We're going to continue to add depth to the API, bringing in more of what we hear from you that we need to have to make this API a really powerful and useful API for SharePoint development. We're going to bring in things like content types, the ability to create and modify lists and do provisioning, the ability to work with views, including being able to create, modify, and understand views, the ability to understand schema, taxonomy, all the sort of richness that SharePoint has is going to come to the graph eventually, and we need your help prioritizing what to do. The best way is to get in touch with us to help us understand what's important to you is through our user voice channels or through the Microsoft Graph documentation GitHub repository, where the product team is actively monitoring and engaging in those conversations. You'll probably see my name all over the place because I care a lot about what the developer experience is, what the documentation that we provide for all of this is. Luca does too. I don't mean to exclude Luca.
The entire PM.
The whole team really cares about all of this stuff, and we want to make sure that we have this relationship with our developers and that we're providing the right tools and the right tool sets and the right APIs to make your lives easier and make it so you can focus on just building the thing you need to build.
I'm actually using the tool to send a nasty feedback to my dev manager right now.
Excellent. That kind of thing, so. Yeah, that's great. Additional resources. So if you want to learn more about Graph, you can go to graph.microsoft.io, or you can go to graph.microsoft.com. It'll get you there too. That is where you can go through the Getting Started experience and understand how to register an application to use Graph. You can read the documentation on all of the APIs that are available through Graph. Under beta APIs is where you'll find the SharePoint reference content for everything that we talked about today. You can also come to github.com/SharePoint and look at a bunch of samples. The samples that we have here are not available there yet, but get them up there. You can go to github.com/OneDrive to learn more about working with files in the Microsoft Graph, including through SharePoint sites. And then the Office Dev SharePoint user voice is a great place to provide feedback on what you think we need to see. And the Microsoft Graph GitHub org is really where all things Microsoft Graph happen, including all of the SDKs that are available for Microsoft Graph, which cover C#, iOS, Android. We have them coming for JavaScript and Ruby and a ton of different platforms to make it easy to quickly get up and running without having to build a bunch of REST framework like I showed you today.
So with that said, we have 10 minutes for Q&A. If you want to have Q&A, please go to the mic so that we can register the information. If you don't want, you can come here after 10 minutes and we can have this kind of conversation later. But thank you very much for your time.
And
do the eval.
Yes, and please fill out an evaluation. Help us know how we can make 400 level developer talks better for you guys.
Question over there? Yeah. At the end of this session, I'm going to the boot.
Yep.
Yes.
In regards to on-prem, how about the Graph API?
That is a great question.
We were waiting for that question.
We don't have anything to talk about for on-prem and the Graph API today. If you saw earlier in the week, Exchange announced that they're supporting a very early preview of hybrid support where Microsoft Graph can work with on-prem. We're really excited to hear the feedback about that and expect that in the future we'll have an announcement to make.
Yep. Question over there?
Just a quick follow-up on that. What was my question there. Will that like hybrid mode in the future, you think, I know this is really early for you for this, but will it require a hybrid mode? Like, will it require those type of REST API?
It's really too early for me to tell you what any of the requirements would be.
Okay.
But if that's a problem, let me know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need the requirements to be?
So that's
actually a good question. The Graph, the API that is exposed through Graph is actually also exposed via the SharePoint API endpoint. So you can use the same API structure without having to go all the way through Graph.
And these will go part of the SharePoint updates, just like feature update. The same works for the framework. We have committed to provide the SharePoint framework on-prem as well, so you can create client-side web parts.
The thing that you won't have by doing the direct API instead of going through Graph is all of the other things that hang off of the Graph API. So Excel REST API, mail, calendar, contacts, like all of those things. Obviously, SharePoint API doesn't know what those are. So Graph is still the best answer, but we have a answer for on-prem for now.
Yes.
So, just for clarity, if I want to do a SharePoint admin to put in the 365 store and I want to access OneDrive through the Graph, what will happen if I make the call? Since you said that you have to use, I think you said OAuth is coming.
Yes,
OAuth 2.
To call the Graph, you need a OAuth 2 access token. And so right now as a web part, it would be nearly impossible, I think, to make that flow work.
You can do that with ADAL, which is .js,
if you want,
using the implicit flow. Yeah. But it's not something that you will be able to do without having a different authentication experience. We are working in order to be able to make that happen. And as a matter of fact, that we have some kind of functionalities already available. If you go down to the SharePoint framework boot, you will see a Power BI web part. That Power BI web part uses an OpenID Connect and using OAuth 2. So we are working to extend the scope of that in order to be able to use Graph and other entry endpoints in Office 365.
Okay, so that would be for the future version of 2016.
So that will be for the SharePoint framework client-side web parts that is will be available soon on SharePoint Online and will be available on-prem. But this is a kind of interesting conversation because now you are authenticating against the Azure Active Directory. Yep. So that will probably require Graph and other
We'll have
other
a better answer
hybrid.
By the time we get to GA for how to do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you, let's say you're using the Drive API to access files.
Yep.
And you're pointing to a SharePoint library, and you mentioned some benefits of doing that, like larger upload or thumbnail and other things you might get. If you do that and you create an item in a list, is it aware in the JSON that comes back
Python.
That it's part of a
Python.
SharePoint list where you could easily
right
say,
there.
Okay, now I want the
$35
list version, the
you
list
see?
Item
Everything
version
is
to
here.
Work with metadata?
It is. The API
is
one way. So if you start with the list API, you can navigate off to drive items. What we haven't added to the beta yet is what you're asking for, which is if I'm in the drive API already, being able to jump off to the list. But the thing about Graph that we really want to support is that easy ability to link between things. And in this case, since it's literally the same thing, being able to go from a drive item to a list item and from a list item to a drive item. So that's totally something we plan to support.
Yeah.
And right now, it only works from list items to drive
items. So this, we're using Ethernet to connect. And... Cool. Thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks a lot.